Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. While the Brewers didn't deliver on the diamond on Tuesday night, one thing Milwaukee definitely did deliver on is hospitality. Mets fans.
Well, good for us. I'm glad Mets fans enjoyed their time here. This is the story.
Do you want to hear from Josh?
No.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
The Israeli military is urging residents in dozens of towns in southwest Lebanon to move further into the country immediately, at least 30 miles or so. More than 6,000 Americans in Lebanon have now registered with the U.S. embassy there to potentially leave the country. This after Israel now launching new attacks targeting Iran-backed fighters, striking Hezbollah militants in Beirut.
CBS News can confirm that Israeli commandos are mounting limited incursions into Lebanon ahead of an expected ground invasion of Lebanon.
CBS News correspondent Chris Livesay there. This comes after that largest ever ballistic missile attack on Israel that we all saw yesterday. Had remnants of the attack on Baghdad years and years ago.
It actually reminded me of watching TV in the first Gulf War.
Yeah, Baghdad.
You know, watching, that's what you're referring to, that just raining missiles down, sirens in Tel Aviv, people on rooftops reporting on it.
Largest ever ballistic missile attack on Israel, Iran launching that air assault over major cities, firing more than 200 missiles.
Israel's ambassador told the United Nations Israel will decide when and how it will respond.
It will be noticed. It will be painful.
And Israel.
Oops, sorry about that. CBS News correspondent Tina Krause there. So what happens now and what will it look like?
My sources tell me they don't really know what Israel is going to do. They're waiting. They will probably get some sort of heads up before they respond, but they are worried about how broad a response. I don't think they're concerned at this point that they will hit nuclear sites, but it is certainly possible. But given the fact there was not major damage, they're hoping that Israel tamps it down.
Yeah, you could argue that Israel already showed its strength on Tuesday, when 200 missiles were shot at it, and it hardly did much damage at all. Now Israel, though, and the prime minister vowing retaliation, it's only a matter of time.
This is why the Middle East is so complex. You might be asking, if you just kind of partially listen to that, wait, I thought we were talking about Iran launched missiles at Israel, but then you said the attack was going to be in Lebanon.
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing. Yep, right. Yep. In Lebanon, you have Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group, which is backed by Iran. Mm-hmm. Wait, I thought there was Hamas. Oh, no, Hamas is the terrorist group in Gaza, also backed by Iran, and that's why that war started. So this is why the complexity of the Middle East and this geopolitical firestorm are on display, and why the whole rest of the planet is so concerned about how widely this could escalate. 7:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Inviting you to participate in our WTMJ Fall Fan Survey for 2024. Takes you only about 10 minutes to fill it out. Actually, just ran into somebody who listens to the show. Like, yeah, I filled out that survey. Well, thank you for doing that.
I hope it went well for you.
Tell them you love Eric and Vinny. Really good show. I love that show over there. To participate, you just text the word survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line. It's 855-616-1620. We'll send a link out to you. And to thank you for participating, we will enter you to win a package that includes a pair of Bucks tickets for the upcoming regular season and an overnight stay at the Pfister.
Through October is sponsored by Delta Dental. Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers and Mets, game two tonight. Brewers have to win or there is no tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Paolo Creedy.
I got it.
Here comes Stanek. Swing and a miss, and Stanek closes the door on the Brewers in game one. 8-4, your final score. The Mets with that big five-run fifth inning, and they take game one in this best-of-three series in Milwaukee.
Creed died, by the way.
Well,
I'm just saying.
That wasn't my point.
Okay.
It was really more about the tomorrow. But
okay.
17 straight batters then retired for the Brewers to close the game. You heard Jeff Levering on that call referencing that disastrous fifth inning for the crew. Brewers starter Freddie Peralta pulled after just four innings. How come?
In the fourth inning of Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series, the Brewers took the lead 4-3. Freddie Peralta had retired 9 in a row. Everybody expected him to come out, including Freddie. Instead, Pat Murphy made a move to the bullpen.
I don't understand the reason that I was took off the game, but there's nothing I can do about it. And in the moment, too, they just came and, like, you don't. That's it.
Freddie Peralta. Pat Murphy explained the move and had the numbers to back it up.
Leaving Freddie in one more inning, maybe we could have. It would have changed how we used the relievers, but maybe we could have. Piamps has got a 1.03 ERA in 30 games. Hasn't given up a run in 12 outings.
Nonetheless, the fifth inning meltdown that would ensue included five runs scoring for the Mets, and ultimately, the last hits of the ballgame. Neither team would have a hit for the final four frames. Game two of the National League Wild Card Series is today at 6:38. Our coverage begins at 6, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
So
from American Family Field, I'm Dominic Catronio.
Thank you, Dom. What's the deal with Willy Adames and Jesse Winker? Winker, the former Brewer, who tripled, two-run triple in the earlier portions of the game. He and Adames started jawing at each other shortly thereafter. In fact, Winker cursed at him while he was rounding second base.
Oh, Willy Adames and Jesse Winker kind of exchanging some words right now, too. Alan Porter, the crew chief, needs to get in the middle of the two of them and say that's enough.
Yeah, Winker said something, yelled at him while he was rounding second.
It's surprising. That was surprising that he, you know, he was saying some stuff, but, you know, like I say, I guess, you know, that's part of his personality.
You know, Dom is telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Todd Rosiak that it kind of caught him off guard, and you can actually see that in the video when he rounds him. He's like, what did you say? Excuse me? He says, but it was interesting. Adames is like, yeah, that's the kind of player he is. Like, clearly there's a reputation there with your buddy Winker.
How are you yelling at Willie? Is there a nicer guy in Major League Baseball than Willy Adames?
Wasn't I just telling you?
Yes.
I was at the game, like, literally a week ago, and everyone who was ever at second base, even the umpire, is hugging Willy Adames. Shaking hands, hugging.
Not a nicer guy in MLB.
When asked if he yelled the F-word at Adames, Winker told reporters after the game,
y'all think I'm able to run and talk? You don't know my athletic abilities? Can't do that.
Well, the good news, though, is that now we have ourselves a villain we can go after and boo and tear apart verbally for the rest of the series. Hopefully it goes two more. In the late game, the Padres beat the Braves 4-0. Earlier in the day, the Tigers won and the Royals won as well.
So gotta win tonight.
Yes.
Or I'm going to play it again just because I like it.
There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Just learning on the heels of two state stops by former President Trump on Tuesday, Vice President Harris will be back in the state. She's got an event coming up on Thursday in Wisconsin. That would be tomorrow. So details of that still forthcoming. This also on the heels of the first and likely only vice presidential debate. No fact check needed for this opening statement. Here's Senator J.D. Vance.
I want to answer the question, but I want to actually give an introduction to myself a little bit because I recognize a lot of Americans don't know who either one of us are.
That's true.
Good start right there. The debate was hosted by Margaret Brennan and Nora O'Donnell of CBS News. And on the issue of fact-checking, remember we talked about, and you're going to hear a lot about this, and there's multiple ways to spin it, but CBS News said we're not going to fact-check the candidates. There was some criticism of the ABC debate about how some suggested that ABC only fact-checked former President Trump. They didn't fact-check Vice President Harris, and that was unfair. So CBS says we're not going to be in that game. If these guys want to fact-check each other, that's their business. Well, relatively early on in the debate, they couldn't help themselves.
And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status. temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
we're
because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank
Margaret,
you.
Margaret, the rules were that the you economy, guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app.
So Senator Vance goes on to try and explain what he meant as they were discussing the migrant or illegal immigrant situation in Springfield, Ohio, that's gotten so much attention. That was the one that former President Trump talked about. Eating the dogs and cats.
Yep.
Okay. This was a far more civil discussion on that, but you did hear a fact check there by CBS. And regardless of where you come down on that issue or what the fact check was, Vance's point was you said the own rules that we agreed to said you weren't going to fact check, and now you won't let me clarify. And he went on to clarify either way. This is where they ultimately ended up cutting the mics.
By
thank you, Senator, for
leadership.
Describing the legal process.
Kamala
so much to get to, Senator.
Well, Governor Walz trying to jump in there a little bit.
Since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP One app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process.
And in fairness, they did get to a lot of other things. I just wanted to cover that because here's how it's being spun. If you're the supporters of Harris and Walz, you're saying, boy, not a really good spot to be in if you're the Republican candidate who opposes to being fact-checked. That clearly means you're lying.
That sounds funny.
Right. The Republicans are saying, here again, we're in one of these debates where the rules aren't fair. They're
right.
fact-checking me, but they're not fact-checking her. And then when I try to explain why I was right on the issue, you wouldn't even let me do that, and you shut off the mic. So that's what you're going to see in here in that analysis about the debate. Got a couple other things. They talked about climate change, some interesting points there, and also on the situation in the Middle East. We'll bring those to you later on Wisconsin's Morning News. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45.
He's one of the best actors out there.
And you asked me if I could guess who is a great actor who's on the shelf.
Retired. Don't say Jack Nicholson.
Okay. I will not.
Would you like to guess? How about I just tell you?
Why don't you just tell me who the actor is?
Coming out of retirement.
From My Left Foot to There Will Be Blood to Lincoln.
Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment.
Daniel Day-Lewis is the only man to ever win 3 Oscars for Best Actor. So when he retired in 2017 at the age of 61, after making the film Phantom Thread, he shocked the world. But it seems there's one director who was able to pull him back in front of the camera, his son Ronan. Daniel Day-Lewis will star in Ronan's directorial debut, Anemone, which the 26-year-old co-wrote. We're told it's about the dynamics of family bonds, fathers, sons, and brothers. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
If I remember right, Daniel Day-Lewis like acted like Lincoln all the time. He's like one of those method actors, like,
well, like around on set and stuff.
Yeah,
like you should address me as Mr. President and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. So then, do you like practice the same hygiene that way too when you're a method actor?
God, I hope not.
Daniel stinks.
My whole great takeaway. My takeaway was, if you're an actor, are you ever like? It's not like you work for a company. Like, are you really retired? I mean, you just haven't done anything lately, but do you, like, file papers somewhere? No, I'm retired. I'm coming out of retirement. Well, just haven't done something for a while.
Yeah, but I think officially he was saying, yeah, I'm not, I made enough money, I've had a great career, I'm not going to work anymore.
Okay.
But he's coming back. One of the best out there. No, you don't like him?
I'm fine with it.
There Will Be Blood? You haven't seen that? You got to see that movie.
You and I just, do we even hear the same story? This news report. I'm going to set up something we're going to talk about just after 8 o'clock this morning in The Independent. Here's the headline. Conscious unbossing? At last, a Gen Z buzz phrase we can all get on board with. Young professionals have coined a term for their generation's reluctance to take a promotion and join the ranks of better paid but overstressed middle management. So it's a column in The Independent, and it's fascinating. Basically, it suggests that younger workers, even when presented an opportunity for a promotion that might even have more money, like, nah, I'm good, brah.
No thanks.
No thank you. I do not want to be in charge. I do not want to manage people. So we're going to bring in a friend of the program from LAK Group, local business consulting firm, Mike Rubich, and we consult with him from time to time on these workplace issues and ask him a little bit more about what this is. What are the ramifications then for the workplace? Like, who is going to be in charge? And we'll do that just after 8 o'clock. We've got Brewers 360 coming up next.
Brew October is sponsored by Delta Dental. Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Only one home team won on Tuesday in the wild card playoff series. The Padres. They won. They beat the Braves 4-0. Earlier in the day, the Tigers beat the Astros. The Royals defeated the Orioles.
And the Brewers lost 8-4 at the hands of the Mets. Same two teams tonight with a 6:38 pitch. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. And we got the man on the call, Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering, live with us this morning. What's up, Level?
Hey, good morning. Do or die day today, huh?
Ugh. Dude, when the game day host or game in-game host came out for the brat toss, and she gets on the mic at the yard and says, "We need to put some energy back in this building." I thought that about said it.
Bring it on for the brats. Yeah, timing was not great on that. But, you know, it's who's not excited about free brats, I guess. The Brewers need to figure it out today. It's a tough test. If you do, you live to see another day. And if you don't, well, you're looking for spring training next year.
Well, the Brewers pulled a Polish sausage and tripped up yesterday, just like the Polish did.
Another exciting moment.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is that could there potentially be irreparable damage done to the fan base if they do not win tonight? Because we've had this losing streak now, and Vince will admit, I mean, Vince has been like pessimistic about the playoffs for months now just because of history. I know that's not fair, Jeff, but boy, I feel like it's more than just prolonging the season. It's having to win tonight just to like give us all some hope again that they can actually go beyond winning an NL Central.
Yeah, it does feel bigger today, and last night was really the game because you knew that two of their best bullpen arms were not available, so that was the game to kind of get it done and get the advantage. Now you got to face a tough lefty in Sean Manaea. I know the Brewers faced him last Friday and knocked him out in the third inning, but it has not been a lot of success for the Brewers organization in the playoffs recently. They haven't won a series since 2018. They've won just one game since 2018. So they, you know, for the fan base, they're starving for some victories. And yes, this has been a situation for the Brewers where they've been in the playoffs for six of the last 7 years, but it's not just getting there. As you mentioned, you gotta get it done. I think we mentioned this last week, but if you're sitting there and you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, you've been to the playoffs 12 consecutive years. You've won the division 11 times. You've got one title to talk about.
Right.
Their fan base is getting frustrated too, and rightfully so. They've got a huge payroll to deal with. But the Brewers do not have that. They do not have that many opportunities. So you got to try and take advantage, and it starts with tonight's game.
What is it that happened, Levo? Is this one of those things where because we're a young team, I mean, like I look at the playoffs, particularly in a best of three series, which is absurdly short. I mean, it's as short as you can get. But for a one-game playoff, right? So in that time frame, you can't have a clunker. You can't make mistakes. You can recover from a bad one in a four-game series, in a best of seven, certainly, even in a best of five. But, you know, right now, you can't make mistakes, and the Brewers made mistakes.
Yeah, they did, and it cost them. It was a five-run inning.
Right.
And other than the two innings, the Mets never had more than one base runner in any inning. Any inning, except for those two innings that they scored runs. You can't give them five outs. All those five runs scored with two outs, just a really frustrating inning. And it was kind of after Jackson Chiroy robs the homer,
yeah.
You know, it's a catchable ball out and left. And then Johan Pyomps is late covering first base and it cost them a run. That was the tie game. And then the floodgates open from there. I mean, it just, you have to make the plays. And that's the frustrating part is because the Brewers made the plays over the course of the regular season. And you've done it so many times going back to spring training. So it was just, it's almost dumbfounding just watching the game unfold yesterday. Going, man, the Brewers just do not make these types of mistakes, but they did last night. It cost them game one.
So Montas is on the hill to start. Who do they go to next? Is Savale cash now because they used him yesterday?
And I would think that Savale's a no-go today, but everybody else is available, save for Freddy Peralta. So you got everybody in the tank tonight, and you got to use them. At this point, you're counting outs. How many does Frankie Montas give you? And then you go from there and trying to get to Devin Williams. But they got to score some runs. They jumped out early yesterday. It's a 2-0 lead. They've had a couple of different leads in some playoff games, but they've got to jump out early today and really keep the fan base involved.
Absolutely. All right. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering. Levo, I hope this is not the last time we're speaking in the coming weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope not, too, guys. Hopefully we're talking next week, too. Come on.
Here we go. Right, here we go. Everything's
fine. They win
fine.
Tonight. Thanks,
Levo.
They win tonight.
7:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
The way Xavier McKinney is tracking, Bilstead underestimated his own boldness, which when I first heard it, I was thinking he's crazy.
Innovator.
Intercepted for a fourth time in four games, McKinney.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
The fact that Bilstead is on track to be underbolded on the boldathon is just fascinating.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
.754 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Mark Tauscher brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You have a poignant question to ask, Tausch, and I have some thoughts, but you go ahead.
I have a poignant question. So yesterday I was with, our show Wilde and Tausch that airs at this time, and Jason was all distracted as the show started because his washing machine blew up. It's not working. And he was irritated because it's only 7 years old. So what do you guys think from a appliance standpoint? What's the right age? When do you get to the point where you can understand it's time to replace something? And when do you think it's way too early?
Well, let me first state that I empathize with Wilde because my dryer has been on the fritz for several years. It makes a terrible noise. I don't know how to fix it.
It's a roller. You need to replace
the
roller.
But it still dries the clothes.
It goes, yeah. But since this clothes still mostly get dry, I'm like, this thing, until it explodes, Tausch, yeah. I think it's going to stay.
Yeah. No, you ride it till the wheels come off. But I think here's how I look at it. Refrigerator, it can't be less than 12 years. You get a new fridge, you get 12 years with that fridge. Dishwasher, total coin toss. I think 5 years for a dishwasher. Washer, dryer, I think needs to be 7 to 10. Dishwashers always seem fickle to me because they'll work and then they don't. You can't really get that mad at it because it goes back to the old days. But the washer, dryer, I think is that one that you – because, Vinny, you have a bunch of kids. Jason, obviously, they're doing laundry all the time with sports and everything else. It really shouldn't be viewed as like a car. It shouldn't be viewed as, well, it's 8 years old. Well, if it's been sitting in the garage and it's only getting driven on Sundays, it shouldn't be viewed the same as if you're wearing out your car, driving it 700,000 miles. So it shouldn't be judged on the amount of years. It should be judged on the amount of washes. So it almost has an odometer on it where you hammer it, and these makers of these appliances say, well, yeah, it's 7 years old, but you got 7 million washes on it. That's the new judgment that I believe appliance makers should make.
Man, you are dead on that, because Bilstead's lawnmower will probably last forever since he doesn't barely do any yard work over there. My lawnmower, since I'm mowing at least twice a week, that should last half as long.
It has to come down to consumption and how much you're using the thing, because does he have goats? Does he put goats out in his yard?
Old Al Johnson's over there.
Close enough. I got my kid. My kid, she mows my lawn now. She does a fantastic job.
I can't believe you allow that.
She might miss a stripe here and there. There's some grass that's longer than other spots.
It'll kill me, Tausch. Every day I'd come home.
So where are we at? Your lawn wars deal. Now that there's frost on the ground, when are we done? Like, when are you shutting it down?
Oh, if I can mow into November, I will, just because I love it.
Why?
Multiple times
a
day,
Tausch. You just love
Tausch.
Doing it that much?
Tausch, could you imagine being his neighbor when he does a tri-mow?
No. No, I can't. It's like, oh, great.
And triple cut. Sometimes you got to do it. We'll take it all the way into November if I can. Thanks, Tausch.
See you, Tausch.
Yeah. 7:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.